السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أسوأ الناس سرقة الذي يسرق صلاته. قالوا: يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكيف يسرق صلاته؟ قال: لا يتم ركوعها ولا سجودها، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, in first verse of the Holy Quran which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, Ya ayyuhal, hafidhu ala salawati wa salatil wusta, be mindful, take care of the all the prayers, and especially the middle prayers. Most of the mufassirin have mentioned, middle prayer means the salatul asr. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. This is the command. Then you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humbleness and obedience. Standing like a slave standing in front of the master. A guilty person standing in front of the boss. So that should be our situation when we start praying salat in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are the sinners and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can forgive and have mercy upon us. Another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum. That oh you believe, make proper ruku' and sujood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you combine these two prayers, two ayat of the Holy Quran, it comes to the mind, it appears that there are certain fights and okay act in the faith. In fact, the Hadith Rasulullah mentioned, the first is that steals from the Salah. And Sahaba were amazed. See, Ya Rasulullah, we think a person who is stealing the wealth, something valuable, thief, we call him thief. This, he is a stealer. And how a person can steal from the Salat? In the form of worship, there is no wealth over there, there is no money or any valuable thing, object or any article in that. It's just the, you know, actions. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, a person who is stealing from Salah, it means he is not making proper ruku and sujood. So that person is a verse inside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last Friday, first time in my life, I was sitting on the chair because I had an eye surgery. And I performed Salatul Jummah sitting on the chair first time in my life. I was feeling so awkward and so uncomfortable. I was not happy by sitting, but I was about to do it. May Allah forgive all of us. Nowadays, my brothers, and I counted last week, that there were about more than 20 chairs, and you can see today also. And this is the general, becoming habit all over the masajid, that brothers are just sitting on the chairs. So this made me think, and it is real a concern. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no concept of sitting on the chair. If a person used to be very sick, he could not even walk, he had no strength and power, he used to come to the masjid with the assistance of two brothers. He used to, you know, drag him and he used to bring him and he used to make him sit on the ground, not on the chair. Even the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by himself, when he was in his last period, just before he passed away, he was so ill, he was so sick, he couldn't even make the imamat. He appointed Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to become the imam, and he was leading the prayer. About 17 prayers Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had led before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day so happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened the window of his Mubarak Hujra and he see all the Sahaba standing behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It make him so happy and pleased that my Ummah is united and I don't have to worry now after my demise what will happen. Alhamdulillah, they are already obeying and following my best friend Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he wanted to come and join. And so he asked to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So they brought him in a way that his Mubarak leg could not stand on the ground. He was so sick and so weak. So he was dragging his Mubarak leg slowly by slowly with the assistance of the two Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He came in the masjid, and when Abu Bakr Siddiq saw him from the side, he wanted to come back. Rasulullah appointed him, no, you are the imam, although you are my ummati, but you, right now you are the imam, and I will follow you, I will sit behind you as a muqtadi. That was the honor of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and confirmation that after me, only Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu deserved to be the imam and leader in Khalifatul Muslimin, no one else. Anyway, so Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought him into the Masjid al-Nabawi while he was sick, he couldn't walk, and made him sit on the ground. That is my point. He was sitting on the ground, not on the chair. So in olden age, even when I was young, I used to see the elderly people who could not, you know, have some problem with the legs or some illness, old age, whatever. So they used to come to the Masjid and they used to sit on the floor. Nowadays it becomes custom that anyone has little bit pain in the leg, he just pull the chair and sit down. Okay, I'm not pointing out anyone. This is the general my explanation, and as an imam I have to explain. And please don't feel discomfortable or dislike about my this speech, and forgive me if I hurt anybody's feeling, because I cannot judge anybody's health condition. Is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how much sharia is allowed to sit on the chair, that is we have to know about it. In which condition, in which circumstances we are allowed to sit on the chair, and what are the conditions which we are not allowed to? Because the person, my concern is, a person is coming from the house, sacrificing his time, making an effort, coming to the masjid, right? And sitting on the chair, and he's thinking his salat is done. In reality, according to Sharia, his salat is not accepted. It's invalid. And he doesn't even know about it. So that's my concern. Inshallah, I'm going to see under Sharia rule, what is the rules and regulation where a person is allowed to sit on the chair. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as performing Salat while sitting on the chair was almost non-existent in the early generations, as I mentioned. It was difficult for later Fuqaha jurists to find explicit mention of it in the books of ahadith or fiqh. As a result, they experienced some difficulty in providing a conclusive wording. Imam, there is only one hadith they have quoted in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Imran ibn Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala an came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I had piles, when sickness, when we have boil in the backside. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is complaining, Ya Rasulullah sallam, I had piles and I cannot stand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the prayer. How can I pray? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that pray while standing, and if you cannot stand, pray while sitting on the ground, and if you cannot do so, then pray lying on your side. And this hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So these three conditions Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has allowed in Sharia. If a person is sick, if he cannot stand, then only he can sit down, not on the chair, on the ground. And then, if he's not even sitting on the ground, then he can lie down and he must pray with the gesture. From a hadith of this nature, we learn that until one is capable of standing, the ruling is to stand and pray. And when one is incapable of standing, then one will sit and pray on the ground, performing ruku while sitting and performing sajda by placing the forehead and nose on the ground. And if one is incapable of ruku and sajda, then one will perform ruku and sajda with gestures. Finally, if one is incapable of all the above, then one is to lie down and perform salat with gesture, with the ishara. And in this image, Rasulullah has mentioned that when a person is making sajda, it is the most closeness and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes like in riwayat that a person is making sajda, is making sajda on the leg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot imagine how is the leg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is how it close becomes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why he is making sujood. And that's why the most beloved person inside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is who is making more sujood. And if a person is sitting on the chair, he is depriving himself from this great bounty of Allah. He cannot make sajda. So for little pain, which is bearable, we should not deprive ourselves, pulling the chair and sitting on the chair and depriving ourselves making sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first posture, and there are six arkan of the salah. Everyone has to understand this. Like pillars of the salah are six, which is compulsory and obligatory. If one is missing, salah is incomplete and invalid. Number one is takbir tahrima, which is first Allahu Akbar. To enter into the salah, that is important, this is farz. If a person just comes standing without saying Allahu Akbar, without raising his hand to the ear and joining the congregation, his salat is not done because he did not enter into the salat by saying takbir tahrima. Takbir tahrima is first a rukn of the salat. Second rukn is the qiyam, standing position. It is for us. So as much as we can stand, we should stand. And then if it is in dire condition, if we are not able to stand even for the minute, then only we should sit on the chair. Otherwise we should stand. The third rukn of the salat is the qiraat. We have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha and add surah. It is compulsory. Without that, salat is not accepted. Number four is ruku, is rukn of the salat. So by sitting on the chair, we are depriving ourselves of performing ruku. So our salat is incomplete. And the fifth rukn is the sajda. Two sajda in every rakat. It is compulsory. Without sajda, salat cannot be done. And the sixth rukn of the salah is qaida akhira. After two rakat, three rakat, four rakat, when we sit down finally for tashahud, that is also faraz. So these are the faraiz, arkan of the salah. It is faraz to observe qiyam, standing position, in all the rakat of faraz salat, and it is impermissible to observe the faraz salat while being seated. We are missing the rukn of the salah. If a person is incapable of standing in for a salat, for experiencing extreme difficulty, or standing will result in the potential illness, or will aggravate an existing illness, or prolong the time of recovering, all these are the excuses. Then it will be compulsory to stand for the period which is one's capacity, without any external support in for a salat. Meaning, for the while, from the beginning, you must stand. Don't just sit down and make Allahu Akbar while sitting. Stand up a little bit, 1 minute, 2 minutes, as much you can, and then you can sit down. So this is how you can gain your obligatory standing. If a person is unable to stand without any external support, however, one is able to stand with the support from the wall or a stick, according to large number of fuqaha, it is compulsory for such a person to stand with external support on the condition that such support is available. If you have some support, you can stand still with that support. Although standing with the external support will not allow One to stand according to the sunnah method with the hands holding. Because when a person is putting hand on someone, he cannot hold his stand. Right? So holding the stand is the sunnah. It is faraz to perform the ruku, as I said, in every rakat of the faraz, wajib, sunnat, and nafar salah. Ruku means to bow. The minimum moment required to ruku to be considered valid is to bow such that if the arms were to be extended, they would reach to the knees. This is the condition of ruku. If a person is unable to bend, he has some problem with the bend, back or something, cannot bend himself or neck or something, his back and neck such that his hands cannot reach to his knees, either being incapable or due to extreme difficulty, or it will result in the potential illness or will aggravate an existing illness or prolong the time of recovering. However, one is able to do qiyam and able to place the forehead on the ground and perform sajda, such a person will be absolved of ruku and will be allowed to make a gesture of ruku. So in this situation, he is not able to bow down for some reason, but he can stand and he can go down to make sajda. So there are three different ruku, three different portions. So one will be excused, meaning ruku will be excused. He can make gesture and ishara for the ruku, but in this condition also he has to stand because he can stand and he got to go down and make sujood on the ground. So just how sitting on the chair does not absolve one of the qiyam on the standing obligation, likewise a person capable of doing qiyam, ruku and also placing the forehead on the ground for sajda, and such a person sits on a chair to offer the ruku of faraz salah, then he will not be absolved of ruku obligation. The reason being that the posture of the ruku is attained when weight of the body rests on the feet and the upper portion of the body is bent forward and lower portion straight. And the above mentioned posture cannot be attained when performing ruku while sitting on the chair. It is for us to do two